Well, as a means of introduction, let me start out by saying this is a big week for me. And at this moment, it's doubled in importance as I look out among you. Carrying the Keystone XL pipeline with my name on it, it's a big deal. It's kind of fun, I have to admit. It's a little bit easier for me to talk about things like pipelines, given my background as a former energy regulator in Bakken, Dakota. But this is a little different. I also have to say it's also a big week, of course, because my friend Rodney Davis, who's here as well, represents the congressional district in Illinois that is home to Illinois State University, the football team that's going to lose to North Dakota State University Saturday in the FCS championship game. But that's another matter altogether. So it's a big week. You know, I don't really know, frankly, how I ended up here. But I suspect it has something to do with the fact that among the initial choir, the initial pushback from Republican members of Congress to the president's idea, one voice out of North Dakota said, "I don't know, it doesn't seem that dumb to me." and so here I am. And actually, prior to being an energy regulator in North Dakota, I did have the great honor of serving 8 years in the cabinet of Governor Ed Schaefer. I was his tourism director for 4 years, don't snicker. It was the least visited state in the country. But today I walk around Washington without a coat on. But I spent the second term as Ed's Director of Economic Development and Finance and became very close. Now, when Ed told me he was moving me over, we should call him Secretary here, shouldn't we? He was Secretary of Agriculture in this town. From Tourism to Economic Development and Finance, I said, "Governor, what I know about finance, you could tap into a small thimble." He said, "I understand that. Thank you very much for your confidence." But he said, "We don't need a banker. We need a marketer. We need someone who understands markets, someone who understands how to sell a product, sell a place, sell a state, sell an idea." And so that was my training before becoming a regulator. The reality is that while North Dakota is represented in this room, it's certainly represented by your coalition, and congratulations on forming it. It is a fantastic idea. As you know, this town moves based on good information that is presented to members of Congress, and then more importantly, strong persuasion from the people that elect members of Congress. And you all know how to do that with the coalition. And I got some advice as well. I think Sam summed it up quite nicely. But frankly, what moves me and what motivates me and really what caused me to come out so early with support for the idea of trading with our neighbors 90 miles off our coast and normalizing relations to the degree that we should and can and ought to, and we'll talk about that a little bit, is not so much about the peas and the lentils and the beans and the corn and the wheat and durum and, you know, potatoes and the products that we grow in North Dakota or the other products. I understand that they're interested in other products like rice and sorghum and other things that aren't grown in North Dakota, but that's good. That's a great outcome. We had the opportunity, in that early window, in the early first half of the 2000 decade in North Dakota, to sell about $30 million worth of peas and several million dollars worth of durum and spring wheat. So we know a bit about it. We're excited for the opportunities. But the real excitement to me is the opportunity to influence an oppressed country for liberty, the opportunity to spread democracy, the opportunity to do what farmers do naturally, and that is feed hungry people. And if the result of spreading democracy is that we sell more of our commodities to a hungry world, that's awesome. That's awesome. Trade ought to be a part of diplomacy. Trade ought to be a part of democracy spreading. Trade ought to be a part of influence and persuasion. That's what trade is. The economics are the other benefit. I don't apologize for them. I'm grateful for them. So that's what drives me. The fact, I think that there are some things that tend to be overstated on all sides of all issues. We've had a week of overstating issues on all sides. Is Cuba a big market compared to China? No. But it is 11 million people, right? It is. They are 90 miles away, right? They are, as Sam said so eloquently, people that are already inclined to want to be like us to the point that some of them want to be us. That's pretty cool. We have a running head start geographically, intellectually, culturally. We have an opportunity that should not be squandered to spread liberty, to spread democracy, and to sell products. Now, we have to look out for some things for sure. Nobody's naive enough to think that we're just going to open it wide open and somehow we're going to be the only beneficiary. I mean, North Dakota also grows sugar beets. We are very familiar with the importance of fair free trade in the North American continent, in our hemisphere, and the importance of what happens when it's not adhered to by our partners. So we need to keep all the protections in place as well. And that's why I think, and Sam's right, this is a heavy lift, but that's why I think incrementally we can make the case to our colleagues based on the spread of democracy, based on the economic opportunities for our farmers, as well as others, manufacturers, intellectual developers. Who knows? Imagine the infrastructure opportunities that maybe, you know, water pumpers in North Dakota and Texas might have in a place like Cuba as they rebuild and build to meet the demands of the current century as opposed to the last one. There's no end to those opportunities, in my view. But we still, we have to have a relationship for that to happen. But we can do it with a short leash. We can test it incrementally. We can open it up little by little and provide assurances to those colleagues of ours in both the House and the Senate that might not be inclined to go all in. I get it. But I've learned in my short time in Congress that persuasion does not happen quickly. Almost nothing happens quickly. Almost nothing happens. But that's another issue altogether. So my advice is, besides congratulating you and encouraging you and go into it with great enthusiasm, is to go into this coalition of your group along with the coalition of congressional supporters. Go into it with us arm in arm with good advice back and forth to provide both political encouragement and political cover when necessary. That's a real part of our work. And then to, of course, help us be persuaded and be persuaders. And you do that best by providing good information and, of course, grassroots backing back home. So with that, thank you for the opportunity. It's an honor to be with you, and it's an honor certainly to be with my colleagues from Congress. Thank you.